What's up, servers? Welcome to Set Her Up, the podcast where volleyball meets drama and a little bit of sisterly chaos.
We're your hosts, Erin
and Madeline,
serving up hot takes, spicy match recaps, and all the drama from the courts of U.S. women's volleyball.
Whether you're here for the rallies, the rivalries, or the ridiculous banner,
you found your home court, so grab your snacks, put your game face on, and let's dive in.
That was my line.
Happy Monday, everybody. We just wrapped up our second week of professional volleyball in the United States, and what a week it was. Both leagues had a great week. In my opinion, one league did slightly better than the other. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Agreed, yeah. I would say that Love, like, really showed, like, their best performances, or so far. I think that we saw a lot of growth from week one to week two, and in comparison to PVF, I feel like the quality and overall just game was a little bit more intriguing with Love than PVF.
Yeah, I totally agree. And one match in particular that I loved, or one team, because they had two matches this week, was Madison Volleyball. I think we saw a lot of great things from them. Some unexpected things, from my opinion. And I was pleasantly surprised and impressed with Madison. And I did say last week that I was leaning towards being a Madison fan, and I this week confirmed it.
In PVF, we saw Vegas Thrill, and they performed really well this past weekend, winning two really exciting and exhilarating five-set matches against Omaha Supernovas and the Valkyries. So they had really great performances both games they played.
Yeah, and there's been a little bit of drama with a new league possibly being introduced next year. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into all of these things this episode. We're very excited. We do have a lot to talk about, so let's dive right in. To start off, we started the week with a Love game, League One, LOVB, however you want to pronounce it, I guess. Atlanta versus Austin. Right off the bat, this was on Love Live TV on their website. You had to sign up for an account, which was fine. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like getting the newsletters from them. But I had some annoyances with the live stream. I really like them on ESPN. I think that's really simple, really easy. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get the subscription, you can watch most of them. With this one, I logged on and it showed an empty arena I think I was watching it on my phone originally, and it just showed me an empty arena for, I'm guessing, like an hour. There were no fans there, so I just was watching people come in, and on my phone I couldn't like scroll to a later point in the match. I was like, am I just super early to this live stream? But then I switched to my laptop and I could scroll, and I realized that the game was going on. And I missed some of it, but I could, you know, just go back. But it was just slightly annoying, but that's me being really picky.
Every game that I watched on Love Insider, I didn't run into that issue, but I feel like there was, like, a little bit of connection issues where the video wasn't loading. So mm-hmm. I think they'll work out all, like, the little issues like that, but overall, I really do like that they have that insider and we get the emails and everything. I think it was really easy to sign up, so I think that's like a smart idea to have a specific website for that.
So getting into the actual match, initial thoughts, key players, what were you feeling?
I feel like Mackenzie Adams really carried her team towards the beginning of the match. I think that she was just a really aggressive player and all around played really well for her team. So,
yeah, I totally agree. I think she did do very well. I was focusing a little bit more on Atlanta, I think, than Austin, just because I was originally swaying towards Atlanta and I was kind of rooting for them. And one player in particular I thought made a huge difference when she stepped into the game. I was very excited to see her playing. Was Tessa Grubbs. We specifically love her because she followed us on Instagram, so she does hold a special place in our hearts because she's the only pro player that followed us back, which is so cool.
So
yes, so far. And I love her. I think she made, I don't think, I know, she made such a difference in that game. And I think a large part of it is we see so many blocks in this league. It's such a high level of play. And there's been so many blocks. I think she has such an interesting approach and interesting style of play. And I think it's incredibly hard for defenders to get a read on her. So she had a fabulous match. In my opinion, she deserved player of the game. She really increased the energy and, in my opinion, made a huge, huge difference for Atlanta. They don't typically, they...
Or is she, does she play back?
I'm trying to think who the other right side is. I want to say it's Danielle Catino.
But
and
no,
they put in a... Oh, and Rachel Fairbanks.
Because I think they did... I don't know if they've done that in past games, that they've done a 6-2, but I feel like I might have remembered them doing a 6-2. I actually don't know what I'm saying.
Possibly. They... I don't think it's a full 6-2. I think they've put Grubbs and Fairbanks in. Not for the full three rotations, but they have put those two subs in. They've made them before. This wasn't the first time either of them saw the court, I'm pretty sure. But I believe they did a 5-1 with Fairbanks and Grubbs. I mean, there's a lot of games to watch, so I could be remembering incorrectly, but
no,
yeah, Tessa Grubbs did a fabulous job. She stepped onto the court. She was swinging around the block. She was swinging so aggressively and just a huge difference maker. And for Rachel Fairbanks to step on the court, coming straight out of college and take control of that game, run her offense the way she did. Very impressed.
Yeah, they really showed up for their team. We also saw for Austin some great defensive plays. Zoe Jarvis, I think we saw this on Instagram like everywhere, but one of the plays of the game were Zoe Jarvis saving a pass that didn't go their way exactly, and then Madison Skinner sending it over the net for an FBK, free ball kill. So I think that that really made the game a lot more exciting too and attracted more viewers.
Yeah, I think we've seen that a few times throughout the week with Love, but the reaction I think the stadium got and they got from me was on a different level. I think that save was just amazing. She's such, we talked about it last week, such an agile, athletic player.
Yeah.
A minute detail I loved about this game too is, I think it was the third set, there was some call by the ref where there was a touch and he called that there was no touch, and the Atlanta coach, who I really like by the way, he shot up and got in the ref's face a little bit, and just that passion from the coaches, and you see it on the bench, and you see it from the players. I really got a good look at it this week, and I really loved that aspect of the game. It was such a little thing. It lasted for a second, and the ref was like, oh, my bad. Mm-hmm. You guys get the point. Don't worry. But just the way he shot up and, like, the team kind of, like, it just gave, I guess, some drama to it. Or watching the PVF, sometimes this might be a hot take, but the coaches kind of fade into the background a little bit. You know, we'll talk about that more through the episode, I think, because I've seen a lot of people say that although the play in Love, the level of play is higher, everything else about PVF is better, is a better experience. I personally disagree with that. I think Love ticks all of my boxes, personally.
I think that some of the PVF teams, like, give you more to root for, I think, with, like, their their social media presence and everything. I think that PVF might do that a little bit better, but I think the level of play with Love is higher, and I think it's hard to say if I've never been to either game, so I think it would be, like, different to, like, be there and have that, like, actual experience present at the game.
Yeah, I agree. I'm only talking because I've only been able to watch it on live streams and television. And going into it, I expected with the mascots and the team names, and there are more teams in the PVF to experience that, but I found it a lot easier to root for a team in Love.
Yeah.
But that's me personally. It seems like I'm in the minority with that opinion. I feel overall that I saw a lot more intensity and competition from Love. And maybe it is because of the level of play. I can see in certain games, and again, we'll get into this more, the strategy and the coaching, and you could kind of tell everything that went into it before the match even took place, and that these players want it. With the PVF, and this goes into level of play, there have been, I guess, just more errors. To me, the game seems less about actual skill and who makes less errors from my perspective, but that's Atlanta versus Austin. Atlanta ended up winning that game in 4. Again, I think Tessa Grubbs made such a big difference along with Rachel Fairbanks, but I love Tessa Grubbs. She really won me over this week. The second Love game that we're going to be talking about, there are so many games, especially this week, probably won't be getting to them all, but one I wanted to highlight, I said last week I might be rooting for Madison. This week confirmed it. Madison versus Salt Lake. That was my match of the week. And again, to compare it to PVF, watching the two live streams, the Love ones, I feel like I'm at the game. The PVF, I watch them and I feel like I'm watching it. I feel a much more immersive experience with Love. I don't know. Do you agree with that or disagree?
Yeah, I think that it depends on the game. I remember thinking last week that I really liked watching Salt Lake play, and that was like the first time I think that I thought that about a team specifically. But watching the games this week, I was really impressed with the PVF games. Watching the Love games was good, of course, too, but the PVF games, I feel like, really, like, had, like, really close sets, and I don't know, I think that, like, the players in PVF, like, have a lot of emotion that I just, like, really feel like gets captured in that league, where, as in Love, it's a very high level, and they're still very emotional, but I just, I don't know, maybe it's because I know the teams better in PVF that I feel that way, but yeah, no, I really enjoyed watching PVF League's games this weekend.
Yeah, I feel like I know the Love players better, but again, maybe that'll vary week to week, you know, it is only the second week, it's early, so obviously that could still change, but that's where I'm at right now. But back to Madison versus Salt Lake. One big part of the game, obviously, Annie Schumacher, formerly known as Annie Drews, watched her in the Olympics as Annie Drews, and she was phenomenal. I love her. I think she's obviously a very talented player. It was, especially earlier in the game, I felt it was really Annie versus Kojima. And in that battle, I think Kojima won. She was everywhere in that game. Of course, with help from the blockers, forcing her down that line. But she got some incredible digs. I see this sometimes on TikTok. People are liberos or DSs or people playing in the back row are like, I love stealing a player's highlights. And I think she totally did that because Annie was, I always want to say Drews, ripping those balls down the line. And Kojima was there every time, picking them up, placing them to target. She did a phenomenal job. And I think having Schumacher on Madison is, you know, it's easy for her to become Madison's go-to. But luckily, they had two other players to really show up and become options, which I don't know if I fully expected them to come in that strong and perform that well. That was Franklin and Chelsea. Phenomenal performances.
Yeah, we saw Sarah Franklin being really aggressive and taking out Jordan Poulter for a minute. That just, like, makes the game a lot more exciting, too, when you see plays like that. Like, obviously that's not good if she gets hurt, but seeing that, I think, just, like, makes the game more exciting, and then you want to see the next point, you want to see what happens. So I think it's plays like that where you don't know what's going to happen, and then something crazy like that happens. Unfortunately, she did touch the net, so she didn't get the point on that kill, but yeah, just plays like that keep you excited and keep you engaged in watching. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely, and she was on a roll prior to that, and you really just saw that energy kind of overcome her, and she was so ready for that ball, ready to blast it down. Luckily, Poulter's okay.
Yeah. And being a young player, too, Franklin, like, just coming out of college, seeing younger players make plays like that, and then talking about the Olympic players playing with her and playing behind her, covering her when she's making those huge plays, it's really interesting to see how those teams work and how they are supporting their younger players. We also have the other outside, Claire Chausse, and she is another younger player, but she's been amazing for Madison and just really showed off how well she can play this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that goes into what I was saying about seeing their preparation beforehand. We've seen a lot of players. I think Skinner has really experienced issues up against a big block, and not just her, a lot of players. I think we've seen massive amounts of blocks in these matches, and that was something I was a little nervous about for Chausse and Franklin. I think just being younger players, and when I was like, I think I'm rooting for them, I was like, I don't know how they're gonna perform against these huge blocks and these players with a lot more experience than them. Their range was incredible. You could see the work that they had put in to work on all of these different shots, work on ways to find space around the blocks, to find open court, and not only the coaching that goes into it, but how they executed it. I think people underestimate how difficult that is. They did such a good job. It was so amazing to see. And that's also a testament, like I said, to coaches and Lauren Carlini, of course, yeah, to be able to put her players in that position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lauren Carlini being a more experienced setter and really building that connection with her younger hitters, I think seeing how she's running their offense, that's such a great dynamic to have, especially them being like them having such a short time in the professional league, just getting out of college. So, yeah, it's really cool to see how their connection with their setter grows. And I think it'll just keep getting better week to week.
Absolutely. And just the accuracy and consistency, she places those sets to not be too tight, to capture them in the block, but not too far where they can, just the accuracy that it takes to put that ball so that they can consistently have every shot available to them is phenomenal. And I 100% agree that that team is only going to get better because just an amazing performance. I loved it. That was my favorite game of the week. And they kind of started to bring that energy into their match the next day at Omaha because their love weekend, you know, that's always in one venue. I think there's three games. That was in Madison. So maybe it was also a testament to their fans. You know, that's those are home games. But they did bring that energy into Omaha, especially in that first set. I think Omaha just adjusted a little bit quicker than Salt Lake was able to. And they did end up, you know, shutting those two hitters down a bit. I still think those two players are phenomenal. Another thing I wanted to point out, this one specifically about Chausse, is her movement off the ball is so good, so intense. She's constantly moving. She's constantly locked in. And I think it's such a great example to set for younger players. I think a huge misconception for younger players is, or people that don't really play volleyball, is that when the ball comes to you, you pass it. When it comes to you, you hit it. I think a lot of times that movement off the ball gets lost. I know, I feel like that's such a difference maker in young players. I think we've talked about this with the team that you coach even, just working on those movements in between the touches.
Yeah, those in-between moments really make the difference between a good player and a great player. So seeing at this high level them taking that up a notch. And really, with Chausey, like, she is covering, she's moving, she's always available for wherever she needs to be. And just seeing that really proves that that makes you a better player.
It's so intentional. It's so intense. She's fabulous. Yeah. Anyways, Madison ended up winning in five against Salt Lake. And then they did take Omaha to four. They took Omaha lost their first set to Madison, but Omaha did end up winning that in four.
So before we get into the PVF games, we need to mention how there's a new league starting up next year called the MLV League, and that's through USA Volleyball, if I'm correct. And I think it's creating a bit of chaos in the volleyball world, hearing everybody's opinions on social media.
Yeah, I agree. So I first saw it, Kerry Walsh Jennings posted it, and the comments were definitely not in support. I mean, it's already a little bit chaotic with the two leagues that are existing, PVF and Love. So just adding a third one feels unnecessary.
Yeah. I also think, like, we go from having nothing, no professional volleyball in the U.S., to then having three leagues. It just looks too messy that it's... I wonder if, like, people outside of the volleyball world are like, what are they doing? Like, figure it out. And I think that next year having three would just be too much, where it would almost draw away people who might consider watching volleyball. Then there are three leagues. That's too much to even begin to watch. So I think, I'm hoping that in the future they'll combine or something will happen where it'll be a little bit more, like, tight-knit.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So the press release mentioned that the Supernovas are going to be heading this new league. So I guess they're leaving the PVF and starting something of their own. I don't fully grasp how that works. I don't grasp what happens to the other teams. I don't grasp why. I don't really get the purpose of it. Other than, I guess, maybe money. Maybe the PVF's not doing as well as people expected. And they, I don't know why they wouldn't fix the issues that they have with that.
If they just, like, rebrand that one league, they could do other things besides making a whole other league. So then you have to wonder what happens to PVF next year.
Yeah, or just disagreements within management, or I don't even know what to call it. But definitely be interesting, because I think Supernovas, you know, they won the PVF last year, so it's definitely weird. But I've seen a few things about it that I find funny. For one, Haley Washington posted basically taking the script that they posted for to announce this new league and put in things like fill in the blanks, like, oh, insert the famous celebrity singer that knows nothing about volleyball or something, and things like that. And then I also saw a funny comment on, so the Instagram for it is MLV_official, and someone commented on one of their posts, so official that you need two underscores.
That's actually funny.
I have heard a lot that maybe PVF and whatever leagues are existing right now will merge. I also don't understand how that will happen. Because, in my opinion, the level differences are pretty big. Are you going to relocate players, like, spread, like, just completely mix them? Are you going to keep the model of Love or PVF? It's so, yeah, if that does happen, it'll definitely be some entertainment. I don't know how that's gonna work. And I know there's differences. I didn't expect to like Love's marketing to the extent that I do. I really like Love, and I want them to, I don't know. I just don't really see them combining. They're just so different.
Well, I saw something on some social media platform, but it was saying that it's kind of hard with Love to like root for a team or to remember their symbols. They have like kind of weird symbols I don't really know or understand. But I think with PVF, they're like just the Valkyries, the Thrill, Mojo, Supernovas. I think that that makes it a little bit easier to like remember the each team, where in the Love, they have like weird symbols and they're just like the names of the place that can kind of get lost a little bit with fans. So
I think on the other hand, though, it's so simple. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the PVF, I find it to be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on. Mm-hmm. They have deeper rosters, at least to start, and then people, I believe, get cut to cut down the roster. They have, there's just so much going on. There's so many more games. Yeah. So much more to keep up with.
Yeah.
I find Love to be very simple. I think their symbols are also just the letters of their cities, the abbreviations in some sort of, which, yeah, if I saw one, it might take me a minute to, like, I can't memorize them, but I don't know. I love it. I love the colors of it. I love the simplicity, the cleanliness of it. And then it all kind of translates into the play. It's a very clean, intense, high level of play that I think is so entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, now getting into the PVF, where I have a few more criticisms. I'm sorry to be so controversial, but the first game is Vibe vs. Fury. This is my biggest criticism. Worse than the Love Insider stream. On YouTube, people might not be so bothered by this. Maybe it's just me. The live stream is bad. I watched it on the TV, and maybe I should watch it on my laptop. Maybe the picture would have been a little bit clearer. That wasn't even my biggest problem. My biggest annoyance with the stream was the audio. It was simply the announcers. You couldn't hear anything going on in the arena. It made the energy seem very dull, and it was distracting. I watched the whole game, and I was like zoning out. I couldn't focus on it. So I don't even have that many comments for it, because I was trying to focus on this game, but it was so distracting.
Yeah.
I was not having it. But I like and love, you could hear the timeouts, you could hear the coaches speaking. It was only with that game. The rest of the games that I watched, the audio was fine. So maybe it was just a hiccup and a mistake. It wasn't supposed to happen, but it did.
Yeah.
And it annoyed me.
I do agree. I think the coaches and the announcers could be like a little bit more emotional. I'd like to see like kind of how we were mentioning earlier, the coaches coming off the bench more, being more emotional and involved in the game and present. I feel like we don't see a lot of that in PVF, where we kind of do more in Love. And I would like to hear their timeouts. I think that's interesting. And same thing with the announcers. I feel like for both leagues, though, the announcers, I feel like I need them to get more into it. I don't know. But I do feel like I notice more with PVF little hiccups, like them saying the wrong person at first, or saying, like, something was in when it was out, and then realizing. But, yeah, no, I do understand what you're saying, but little hiccups like that are bound to happen sometimes.
Yeah, I liked that. I like in the Love that the coaches, the head coach is always highlighted. There's a barrier where the rest of the coaching staff kind of sits, and then the head coach is always standing involved in the game. And with the PVF, they're all kind of sitting in rows of chairs, and they all just kind of blend into the background, or they're just sitting there, which is fine.
Like, that really bothers you that much.
It does bother me. It wouldn't bother me that much if Love didn't do it, you know? I see Love, I'm like, this is awesome, and then I watch the PVF, like, stand up, come on, get, and then I also don't get it, because how are you going to challenge something? Can you even see the other side of the court if you're sitting there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It does bother me that much.
Apparently, clearly. I don't know. Maybe I have more focus on the game.
Yeah, maybe you do. And I say this all in love. I really want these leagues to be amazing. I wanna see them succeed. Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. I'm doing this all in the name of love and passion for volleyball. But Vibe did end up winning in 5 sets. So, good for Vibe. I did say last week I was rooting for Vibe. And the next game we watched was Grand Rapids Rise versus Indy Ignite.
I feel like Ignite is a really fun team to watch. They have, like, really good defense, well-rounded team. And I'm not the only one who thinks so, because Caitlin Clark was in attendance supporting Ignite. And seeing celebrities and other athletes, whoever it may be, go into these games and supporting these athletes, just, it warms my heart a little bit, because she's such a well-respected athlete, of course, Caitlin mm-hmm. Clark, and it's just, like, such a good community of women in sports, so that was really cool to see.
Yeah, I agree. And I do really like Ignite. I did enjoy watching this game. Live stream is much better. And Ignite has such a stacked team. So many recognizable faces. Member Mena, who is just a beast. She's insane. I think she was player of the year for the PVF last year. I could be mistaken. You have Chahik, who is a great player all around. You've got Taylor, Crawford, Scott, and of course, Sydney Hilly. A great team. I really liked watching them as well.
Ignite really put on really heavy service pressure. I think, especially from Chavik and Crawford, they were really aggressive, went on long runs. Rise just struggled a bit in serve receive and couldn't keep up. And that's, like, one of the toughest parts of the game, serve receives.
And something I love to see is a comeback when somebody's down. And in that second set, Ignite was down 19-22. And they came back and won the set 28-26.
Yeah.
And so Indy Ignite won that match in 3 sets. It was a sweep and a great game. Yeah. Some hot takes, which just add to my criticisms, okay? I'm not always this cynical or critical, but I am today. My hot take of the day. I don't like this new rule. I don't know if this is FIVB. I don't even know what that stands for, and I'm going to be so honest. I don't know if this is a rule adapted from the FIVB. There's a whole rule handbook, and I just searched up rotation or base, things like that. I didn't find it, so I don't know where this rule came from. But the serving team doesn't have to start in the rotation. They can start in their base. I thought I noticed this. I don't like it. I thought I noticed this last week, but I didn't want to say anything because I was like, I could be totally wrong. And I don't know if this has been in other leagues and I just haven't been paying attention. I don't know if this was in the Olympics. To be fair, I watched the Olympics at work underneath my desk, so excuse me if it was and I didn't notice it. But I don't like it because you have young players watching. Why are you holding them to different expectations than you? I think for people wanting to learn the sport, they're trying to understand rotations and they're like, but it just confuses it. And maybe if this is a rule internationally and has been, and this is one of those rules that's just been different in United States club and college level and high school, things like that, more understandable. I don't like it at all. I don't think there's any point to it. I think it stops movement. I like to see more movement on the court. Who doesn't? It's constant movement is good. I like to see a little shot of all the players stacked together at the net. I like that. I guess I'm a traditional person. Just keep it that way. I don't like the rule change. That's all I have to say. That's my hot take. I think just take the extra few steps and start in your rotation.
Yeah.
And some teams did, maybe to, like, keep track of it better. I forget which game it is. One team had a wrong server at one point. I think it was in Love. I don't like the rule at all. Those are my reasons. Don't like it. That's my hot take. What's yours?
I don't think Love does this, but PVF has a rule where the coach can't challenge a call at the end of the rally. They have to do it during it, which I think not defeats the purpose, but I think that's interesting. Like, if a call is made, you can't really challenge the like final call of a play. You have to challenge it while the play's still going on. So I don't know. I don't like that. I don't feel like that's necessary. I feel like the coach should be able to challenge a call after it's made and focus on the rally and not be like, oh, I got to get over and challenge the play. So that's my hot take, but I don't know. I think that's valid.
Maybe it's to not get confirmation from your players, or... But why is that a bad thing, to get confirmation from your players? I don't... Yeah. I guess I don't understand it either.
Those are our hot takes.
Hot takes. Let us know if you agree. Yeah. Let us know if they're hot or mild. Or...
Cold.
Ice cold. Board takes.
Okay, so then in PVF also, we had the Supernovas versus the Thrill. Supernovas had a really great weekend last weekend. They had a great season last season. I feel like they're known for being a strong team from Omaha. And Thrill has been amazing to watch this weekend. And they pulled off a reverse sweep against Supernovas. So that was really exciting. I think I'm rooting for Thrill in PVF. Later on in the game, we saw Cameron Hanna come in from Penn State, fresh out of college, and she came in after losing two sets. I believe she came in the third set, and she was really strong for the Thrill. So that's really cool to see a younger player right out from college coming in and making a huge impact. She really led her team, and that was really fun to watch. And then same with their setter, Alicia Childress. She really runs the offense well, but not only that, she's aggressive herself, so having an aggressive setter really throws off the blockers, and you never know what the setter's going to do. So that really helps her be more aggressive when you have hitters like Cameron Hanna that can follow through and you have your go-to.
Childress is so strong on the net, and I really did enjoy watching Thrill too. I think last week I said Atlanta, this week Thrill and Ignite really impressed me. I think this is expected, especially from her performance last year. Brooke Nunaviller, she is so good all the way around. So great in defense. Such a strong attacker.
I saw her laying out for so many points. I remember there was an overpass kill, but she got it up. She laid out. And I don't even know her reaction time, like how she moves so quickly, but her in the back row, six is, I think, her strong spot. She's, of course, amazing in the front row, but she makes so many fun defensive plays that just make the Supernovas so much more fun to watch. So I really enjoyed watching her in the back row.
Yeah, was that like her one arm?
Yeah.
I saw that one. Yeah.
I think they did end up getting that point. So it's awesome when you see players lay out and make these crazy plays and then your team follows through and backs you up on that.
So Thrill won that set in five. Yeah. And that was their first five set win.
And a reverse sweep.
We will get into their second match of the week. But first, we want to introduce a new little segment we're doing. I think we're calling it Is It Fetch? Obviously inspired by the iconic Mean Girls, the iconic Gretchen Wiener trying to make fetch a thing. We came up with some volleyball, non-volleyball terms that we think should be volleyball terms. So you guys let us know, is it fetch? And fetch is a good thing. If it's fetch, then it's in. And let's see if we can make these volleyball terms a thing. So the first one I've had, this actually inspired it because I've been trying to make it a thing for a while.
Every time we play, you always bring it up, I feel like. We'll be peppering. One thing will happen, and then, yeah.
Yeah, we have pepper sessions regularly in our front yard, and our brother doesn't always take them very seriously. It's whatever, it's fine. He doesn't always respect the pepper session. Sometimes he's involved in some tomfoolery, so this is where this originated. His name is Jack. For reference. Okay. So we all know a pancake. A pancake is when the ball is about to hit the floor and a player, typically a defensive specialist, a libero, will go for the ball, but the ball is mere centimeters away from the floor. The only hope that this player has is to slide a flat hand along the floor. So, to place it where the ball is about to bounce. So, the only thing between the ball and the floor is a player's flat hand. That's a pancake. Now, sometimes, most coaches would probably advise against this, but sometimes, maybe, a player will only have time to stick their foot out. Maybe the ball is hit so hard that it just ricochets, it just happens to ricochet off somebody's foot and stay in play. So I think this should be called a flapjack.
I think that would catch on.
What's your term?
Well, hearing that, I have an experience of my own. So today, the Thrill played again, and I remember, I think it was the very beginning of the fourth set, I think the first point of the fourth set, Cameron Hanna was in, and she thought a ball was going out, and it landed inside the court. You just gotta shake off points like that, and I remember playing last year, my freshman year, and I thought a ball was going out, and, you know, it hit my foot. It was embarrassing. It's not a high point for me, but it made me feel better seeing Cameron Hanna do something similar. Honestly, mine was worse, but seeing these high-level players make like silly mistakes like that is very relatable. So I appreciated seeing that, and I think that what I did hitting my foot and, you know, not, you know, going up or it was going out could be called the flopjack because I flopped.
I love that. I think that would catch on too.
Yeah, but coaches would definitely advise against that. So for sure, don't do that. Flopjack is not a good thing.
So I've seen this happen a few times and it's happened to me personally. This is again more geared towards liberos and DSs. Sometimes you just have a very gritty, scrappy player who's running down balls left and right. Sometimes they are so locked in on a ball that they're running it down. They don't notice that their coach is standing right there. And what happens? Sometimes you just fall right into your coach. Sometimes even your coach is sitting down and now you're on top of your coach in a very awkward, uncomfortable position. It's not a fun time. And I think I've seen Lainey Choboy do this. She's the type of player that this would happen to. I don't know how to explain it.
This has happened multiple times to her. I know it has because, I mean, she's a dog. She doesn't let any ball drop, so go her, but it is funny to watch.
And John Cook is such a great coach. It's awkward no matter what coach it is. I think John Cook is a very well-respected coach, and I think he would enjoy having it. I think this should be called getting John Cooked.
Yeah. Name it after him. Not sure he would like that very much. I feel like that's not like the type of thing you want to be named after you.
And this has happened to me. Not a fun time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Happened with my coach.
Oh, you fell on your coach?
Yeah. Oh, no. Thankfully. No. Oh, okay. I don't think so. I mean, maybe my players have run after a ball. I was like, okay.
And I like put my hands out. It was. I was like,
but
how do you know? I should have known that happened to you.
Yeah, no, it did happen to me. Thankfully, not his coach. I feel like my coach was sitting down, and I just I heard her before. She was like, no. But it was like too late. I was too far gone, and I fell on top of her, and it took me just a second too long to regain my footing. I got John Cooked.
Oh, so it's the...
We both got John Cooked.
We're both cooked.
We're both cooked.
We're both cooked like John.
And then actually, this isn't even about volleyball. This is one of my most embarrassing stories. It's not even about volleyball, but it is about sports. This happened to me in soccer when I used to play back in the day. And I couldn't... I was probably in middle school. Let's say 7th grade. Just estimate. I was probably around 12 years old. And this is actually so funny. I just realized this. This story, both of these stories that I'm telling, end up with me on top of a girl or woman named Kelly.
Okay.
The woman being my coach. Mm-hmm. The girl being a girl named Kelly. Okay.
So, just go on. I'm so lost.
Spoiler alert. I end up on top of a girl named Kelly. We were playing soccer. It was a practice. And this happened to be the shortest player on the team. I'm pretty tall, you know. She was pretty short. Anyways, we ended up going for a tackle, and I just fell on top of her fully. Now, I'm pretty much laying on top of her because I won the tackle. And I felt, like, a little movement underneath me. I thought it was, like, kind of funny, and I wasn't very aware of my body. I wasn't aware that, like, I was a lot taller than her.
Yeah.
And so I thought she was laughing. So I started kind of laughing.
Then you got off her, maybe? Or you're just laughing on top of her?
So.
No. Is she crying underneath you? She's crying and you're hysterical laughing. That's where this is going. And she's like a foot shorter than you?
Well, I think the worst part of it was... So, yes, I thought she was laughing. She wasn't laughing. The worst part was all of my teammates going, "Get off of her!" And I felt very silly.
Where does this story go into... Is this John Cooked? You cooked her? John Cooked her?
Yeah, soccer edition. I don't know. The story just reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Because that happened... How old am I now? I was 12. That happened a decade ago. Mm. At least, probably. And I still think about it. Because it was pretty embarrassing.
Do you want to say sorry?
It's like a similar... So when I fell on top of my coach, like those feelings of embarrassment kind of came back.
Oh, yeah. Triggered.
Yeah. Yeah. Triggered the embarrassment that I felt at 12 years old.
Honestly, see, the problem is that that's like a very... like, original experience for you. I don't know if anybody else has really gone through that. And definitely not twice on somebody with the same name. So I don't know if the people could really relate to this, but if you can, let us know. Help Madeline not feel so alone.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you are.
So let us know if those are fetch.
Yeah.
We got Flapjack, Flopjack, and John Cooked.
And then the last game we're talking about is Valkyrie's first thrill. Thrill, again, like I said, was one of my favorite teams to watch this weekend. Another thriller, 5 sets. And again, Childress and Cameron Hanna, so strong. I mean, they're amazing players. And we saw great things from Kat Bell and I believe Hannah Maddox. She... led the team in kills. I think she had 21 points, and Kat Bell, I believe, had 19 points in total. So we saw huge performances from a lot of players on Thrill this weekend. And taking down Valkyries in 5 is just a huge win for them. So I'm excited to see what they do this upcoming weekend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And another difference maker in that match, I think, was Nora Sis from Creighton that I enjoyed watching this college season. You know, when she came in, I think the energy changed. I like sat up a little bit straighter, and she was a beast.
Yeah.
I was really impressed with her. She did great and she made a difference, you know.
So Thrill won that game in 5, like we said, took down the Valkyries. And just to mention a few other matches that happened that, you know, we can't get to every match and talk about it in detail, but we saw a lot of great volleyball this weekend. For the PVF, Valkyries beat Mojo in 4 sets. Houston beat Salt Lake in 4 sets. I remember last week saying that Salt Lake was one of my favorite teams, possibly, and I'm still rooting for them, hoping they do better this upcoming weekend. We saw Ignite beat Fury in 5. We saw Mojo beat the Supernovas in 4. Another thing, my friend actually went to that game today, mm-hmm. and she said the atmosphere was great, and it was a really fun game to watch. She'd totally go again, so it's another thing for, like, PVF in person, mm-hmm. trying to, like, get you to be an advocate, because you're, like, so critical.
I'm jealous, so.
Yeah. And then Rise beat Vibe in 3.
So for this upcoming week, we have slightly less games. We had 8 from the PVF this weekend. We have 5 this upcoming weekend. So a little bit of a lighter week. But to start us off with Love, Wednesday, Houston and Salt Lake will play again. They played last week and they'll play again. As well as Omaha and Madison playing again on Friday. They will be playing in Omaha this weekend, though. It starts with Omaha versus Madison. And then Saturday, Atlanta will play Madison. And Austin will play Omaha. Then with the PVF, we have play starting on Thursday with Thrill versus the Vibe. We have 2 games on Friday with the Omaha Supernovas playing Columbus Fury and Indy Ignite playing San Diego Mojo. Then on Sunday, we finish up with Grand Rapids Rise versus Columbus Fury and the Vegas Thrill versus the Orlando Valkyries again.
Be exciting.
Yeah.
And those teams that lost, they're going to be looking for revenge, so we'll see if they can even that out.
Yeah, hoping for another great week of volleyball.
Yeah.
So we want to reiterate that we are so grateful and thankful for all of our listeners so far. It's been incredible. Yeah. And we're so invested in this, so excited.
Yeah. We're just looking to build the volleyball community and our little Setter Up Pod community. So if your friends are looking or family looking to know more about volleyball, watch more professional leagues, share this podcast and give us any feedback you guys have or want to hear in our podcasts.
Yeah, we're determined to get better every episode. Yeah. So thank you all for listening. Make sure to check us out on Instagram at SetHerUpPod, TikTok at SetHerUpPod, YouTube SetHerUp, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, all of the other platforms, yeah. SetHerUp. We will see you next week. Yeah. Monday at 8:00. See you then.
Bye.
Bye.